let's go into the word, because I know I got to get you out before brunch. So let's go here. Let's go to Proverbs 16. I pray that these messages have been blessing you as it's been blessing me. And I really pray that you just don't hear it, that you, you know, take a moment, put the app on, listen to it again, let it really get in your spirit. Sometimes you just can't hear something one time, you may miss it, and then something gets illuminated to you a different way. So we got all of that on social media and our app, go and use it. That's what we pay for it for. Amen. So it reads, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. Verse 19 says, better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Amen. So I'm going to talk to you from the subject this morning. Sit down, be humble. Sit down, be humble. I'm going to borrow that from Mr. Kendrick Lamar. Amen. All right. So in our Feel series, we have been designed, where this series is designed to navigate the spectrum of our emotions from a biblical point of view. Last week, we talked about loneliness. This week, we're going to talk about pride. So let's just go straight here. What is pride? Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is a high or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing conduct. Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is often something that we fault and we despise in others, but yet freely excuse and even justify ourselves. How many of you can spot pride in others? Like, sniff it out. But when you have your moments of pride, you always have a justification for it. I justify it in my own eyes because I don't see that I'm wrong. Don't worry, I've been there. I'm here too. Come on the couch. Everybody, we on God's couch. And as I was thinking about it, you know, that is true. Who am I to say that it's not? Because you can say, oh, that person just hiding themselves and all of this stuff like that. But there's moments, ladies and gentlemen, where pride is manifested in our own life. And with pride manifested in our own life, we justify where we are is because we feel like we're entitled to that justification because of what events may have happened to us or what we have done. No, I am entitled to feel this way. And while you may have some merit, that still is not the way in which you should walk in. Now, pride is not always negative in the sense that we ought to take some pride in what we do. All right, we should take pride in what we do. We should take honor and privilege. If you're doing something, do it to the best of your might. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with pride in that sense. But oftentimes when we see pride being talked about in the scripture, it's often because of the flesh and the negative part of our sinful nature. Oftentimes when we see that there. And so we're going to go into the seven dangers of pride. What are the seven dangers of pride? Number one is self-reliance over dependence on God. Because pride encourages self-reliance, self-sufficiency, leading individuals to trust in their own abilities and judgments rather than depending on God's guidance and wisdom. You see, this self-reliance can cause a person to stray from seeking God's will as they prioritize their own understanding and plans. It is the opposite of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, to trust in the Lord and all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Pride leans heavily on your own understanding. Pride, ladies and gentlemen, leans heavy on your own intellect. That's what pride does. However, ladies and gentlemen, pride shows that you really don't trust God. Yeah, it shows that. I had to steal this from St. Augustine. He said something that I really liked a lot, a theologian. He said that pride was a distortion of the soul's desire to be like God, but without God. I'll say that again. St. Augustine, he says this about pride. He said it's a distortion of the soul's desire to be like God, but without God. Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is you playing the pilot, Pride, ladies and gentlemen, is you driving the car. It is not you. It is you that is leading your own way. And if you're leading your own way, then that means you're being self-reliant and you're not dependent on God. Ladies and gentlemen, some of us say, well, no, Pastor, no, God is in the driver's seat. He's in the driver's seat, but you a passenger driver. You know, you're a passenger driver trying to tell him what you think is better, trying to tell him what you think is right. It is us trying to be God, trying to direct our lives. Number two danger with pride is lack of submission to God. If you're trying to be God, you're definitely not going to submit to him. The essence of pride is elevating oneself often above God's authority. The lack of submission can prevent individuals from obeying God's commands and following his plans. A prideful heart struggles to submit to God because it does not acknowledge the need for God's sovereignty in all aspects of life. That's really key because we can trust God in some aspects of our lives, but other aspects in our lives where we see the greatest warfare is because you haven't submitted it to God. The reality of the matter is if you are challenged in a certain way and your walk with Christ is because maybe, just maybe, you have not surrendered that part of you. And the most part where you have the most contention is where you have not submitted that to God. Because there's other areas where you said, I've submitted that to God, and your flesh don't raise up. But there's other times where things that you have not submitted to God, your flesh comes in, oh my gosh, it opposes the will of God because you, ladies and gentlemen, are rebellious. And guess what? You want to know the root of rebellion? It's pride. You want to know why people are rebellious? It's because at the heart of it, pride is there. You have to understand that pride, ladies and gentlemen, is the origin of where a lot of other sins originate from, because it's pride. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to understand is that a prideful heart struggles to submit to God. It struggles because we don't want to acknowledge his sovereignty in all aspects of our life. Number three, ignoring God's commands and guidance is a danger of pride. Pride leads to disobedience because it involves a resistance to God's authority and his word. When individuals believe they know better than God or choose to ignore his directives, my Jesus, that's been me, they are effectively stepping outside of his will, which is designed for their ultimate good and his glory. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you really living in God's perfect will, or are you living in his submissive will, or are you not living in that at all? Excuse me, his permissible will, or if you're not living in that at all. People are going to find and line up in those three categories. Either you're in his perfect will, his permissive, that meaning that the will that, he allows it to happen and really his perfect, but I'm going to be sovereign into you in that direction, or you're not in it at all. And a lot of times people live in the middle, or they're all the way outside of it. The goal is not to live outside or to dance in the between. It's to live fully in. Another thing is disruption of spiritual growth and humility. Spiritual growth requires humility. You will never grow in the Spirit of God if you're not humble. Hallelujah. A quality that allows individuals to see their own limitations and weaknesses accurately, meaning being self-aware. A lot of the times we're not self-aware. And if you refuse to be self-aware, you'll never be able to grow. If you cannot honestly do some self-retrospect about yourself, you won't be in trouble. Because a lot of times you want to believe a certain thing in the mirror, but really that's not in you. Because what you've been manifesting outwardly is not what you declare inwardly. Pride hampers the growth by inflating a person's self-image, reducing their perceived need for God's transforming power in their lives. That's why some people don't come to God, because they don't feel like they need him. They feel like because I'm good and I got a certain status, I've inflated the status, and that might because of my status, I perceive that there's no need for my inward man to be transformed. It doesn't matter what your outward man looks like. It matters about what your inward, because guess what? Even if you got that perceived status, the reality of the matter is it can be gone. And if you take and strip out all of your achievements, what are you at the end of the day? Because really, when you have a real healthy perspective on success, it adds to me, but it don't define me. Number five, damaging relationships. A lot of relationships been damaged because of pride. Friendships been damaged because of pride. Marriages have been damaged because of pride. Because nobody wants to forgive. Nobody wants to forgive. We always want to accuse. Get over it. If you're going to really be in a spiritual matter, you have to learn forgiveness. You have to learn not to hold on to offense. You have to learn how to let go of bitterness and either judge if you should be around them or you need to leave. Pride often leads to conflict and broken relationships because it hinders the community's ability to function according to God's intentions. Guess what? Unity does not mean uniformity all the times, but we should, even in the body of Christ, the reason why division is caused is because people have a sense of pride, because you feel as though your way is better instead of coming together and saying, hey, let's take the kingdom of God together. You have your way, I have mine, but let's find the middle point, because at the end of the day, Jesus is the intersection. And TCF is, as we grow and people come on board, you don't let nobody come in here and sow no discord. You don't let nobody come in here and sow no division. If you got that pride, arrogant self, you better already find that door, because the people in here going to call you out and say, hey, that don't happen here, player. Move. Either you get with the program or you're gone. Either you allow the transforming power to happen in your life, because you don't need one rotten apple spoiling the bunch. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? There's a bigger thing. The reason why we have to understand this message today is so that we can grow. We have to come into what God has for us, and we cannot allow pride to be the thing that directs us in another way. Resistance to repentance. That's another danger of pride. We don't like to repent because we don't feel the need that we have to repent. Because repentance is critically aligning oneself with God's will, involving recognition of sin, turning away from it, and turning towards God. See, if you don't see that in yourself, you won't come to God and repent. You won't make a change of mind. Here's the other thing. Number seven is the danger is blindness to one's fault and needs. Pride blinds us individuals to their faults and the areas in their lives that they need God's divine intervention and guidance. Again, a lack of self-awareness. Now, with all of those dangers produce symptoms. What are the symptoms of pride as I move through this very fast? Number one is haughtiness and arrogance. Proverbs 8 verse 13 says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance and corruption and perverse speech. This verse indicates that pride manifests in arrogant behavior and haughty attitude. That this is what pride does. It manifests arrogance. It manifests corruption and perverse speech. Your speech is negative because you got pride in you. You talk about somebody because there's some pride in there. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, self-exaltation. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3, it says this to us. It says, you have been deceived by your own pride because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up here? You ask boastfully. I want you to look at what Obadiah here. He said this. He said, you're deceived by your own pride. You know what pride does? Pride puts you all the way up on the rock, all the way up in the mountains. Nobody can reach you up there because guess what? You're so high up there on your own smoke that you don't realize, hey, you need to get your balloon busted. Come on down. There's some people there's some times where I don't have many pastor friends. I'm not rejoicing in that or nothing like that. But, you know, that's a sad thing to some degree. But the reality is you get around certain circles, you get around certain people, they're very high up on the mountains. They're very high up there. And they're so high in there that they're not even self-aware or can identify with their own people. They can't identify with their own people because you live in a place where they're not. And if you're in a place of pride, you're never going to be able to intersect anyone's life. If you feel as though that you're better. Are you hearing me? Don't be on high on the mountains. Look at somebody say, if you're on the mountains, come on down, girl. Come on down off of that mountain. Come on down. Because you can never reach nobody up there. And you boastful about it. It's nothing that you listen, pride does not talk against, ladies and gentlemen. Now, God does not speak against us having a good self-image of ourselves. Amen. Can I say that? Amen. There's nothing wrong with having confidence. God tells you to have confidence. But there's a difference when your confidence starts switching to an arrogance. Now, some people will mistake your confidence to be arrogant because of what they're missing inside them, because they're in their feels. Sometimes your confidence agitates their low self-esteem. You get what I'm saying? It sometimes agitates their low self-esteem. And so you sometimes have to cover up yourself or what you say and what you do because of how individuals are around you. So I have to say that, but there's a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, number three, refusal to seek or heed advice. A lot of times in counseling, I can already tell somebody going to take my advice or not. And I'm already going to tell if I'm going to advise them again. Because that's what I tell you, verily I say unto you, thus saith from Pastor Brandon, if you don't listen first one or two times, the third one you may not have a good try. You get what I'm saying? Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. You don't take advice, you're never going to be great in life. If you always think that you know what's the best, you will never go that far. You never will. Because pride does not allow you to acknowledge the fact that there are people who have done it before you. And has done it at a level of a certain consistency and has done it at a level of longevity that you can learn from. That's why I always like speaking to the older pastors. Because if they would talk to younger pastors, some of them. But I'm just honest. But that's why, because again, there's certain wisdom that they have from a longevity span of time. There's certain things that you get to learn in business and stuff like that from other people who have done what you were trying to do. One of my best mentors was from a man who was on Donald Trump's show back in the day. I don't know what. The Apprentice. And he told me certain things on business. And I'm like, yo, that blew my mind. I didn't know anything about certain things or what you do and all of this stuff like that. And he blew my mind by his level of wisdom, his wealth of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, people, nations fall because of pride. Nations fall because of pride. Nations fall because they don't listen to good counseling. You can fall. Your generational line can fall because of your not seeking advice or listening. Number four, lack of humility. James 4 verse 6 says, but he gives grace. He gives more grace to those who are. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Why does the humble get grace? Because they realize where they are. Yeah. And they realize what they're in need of. When you're in a place of humility, you can always receive. I need you to think about that. I want you to think about that. When you are in a position of humility, you will always be in a position to receive. When you're in a place of humility, you'll always be in a place where you can prosper. When you're in a place of humility, you got to understand that being humble before the Lord will go very far. A lack of humility or unwillingness to lower oneself or admit mistakes is a significant symptom of a narcissist. A nar. A narcissist. A narcissist, ladies and gentlemen, or the word narcissist has become a popular thing within our culture. You're a nar. You know some people who are like that. You can count 10 people in your nine right now. Don't name them out of your mouth, but I know they're there. Because people who always want to blame others, don't take no accountability. I know, you get what I'm saying? Don't take no accountability for their part in anything. That's why then you talk to people in marriage counseling. Look, somebody got to take accountability here. If you don't take accountability, just maybe you got this symptom of pride. Just maybe you have a symptom of being a narcissist. Just maybe, just something to think about. Number five, neglecting God. Neglecting God. Daniel chapter 5 gives us a story about Belshazzar, whose pride led, which is Nebuchadnezzar, led him to act blasphemously and neglect the sovereignty of God, resulting in divine judgment. He became crazy. He came so crazy, he left the palace. He was out in the woods eating grass, doing all this craziness. Judgment had come upon him. He went psycho because of it. You don't understand how some people, they're so far up in the mountains, and you see certain celebrities you see and all of that stuff. Why? There's pride there. Because it's in a place where I think I'm God. Yeah. And what happens when people think they're God? Great mental things come upon them. Because yeah. they're already off balance, yeah. off kilter. Yeah. And you don't know what they're suffering with in the dark. Because you're not privy to see it. Number six is destructive relationships. Again, we understand pride comes before the fall. Number seven, resistance to correction. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Stupid. That's what Solomon said. It is stupid to hate correction. You must love discipline. Pride often makes a person resistant to correction. They may react negatively to criticism or attempts to point out faults or errors. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take all constructive criticism. If it's destructive, that's one thing. If it's constructive criticism, take it, get better, because it's positioning you for more. I was in real estate, and my broker was like, "Brandon, you need to correct this part of your process to get a better process when you're closing on homes, so nothing falls through the cracks to prevent a situation that I had and stuff like that." And he said it out of way of being loving, like, "Man, you getting this business, but yo, you gotta kind of straighten up your processes to keep you organized." Yeah. And me, I didn't take no offense because I'm new to this. You've been here for I don't know how long. I'm not going to take offense to that. You done made how much money this month? I'm going to listen to you. I'm new.
That's right.
But somebody with pride is, man, get out of here, man. Yeah. I'm the new kid, brother. I don't know what you're talking about. Pride says, okay. If you're in pride, ladies and gentlemen, you make the correction. But if you stay in pride, you don't make the correction. And you keep doing the same thing, and eventually it's going to get caught up to you. Now, how do we overcome pride? It is very simple. It's not rocket science. How we overcome pride, ladies and gentlemen, is we have to overcome it by walking in humility. Can I say something to you that, and I want you to write this down and put it on the clothesline of your mind really quickly. It says, it's better to walk in humility than to be humbled. I want to say this again. It's better to walk in humility than to be humbled. I rather walk in humility than to have to be humbled when you work so hard for something and then you be humbled and then you got to get really humbled real quick. It's better to walk in humility than to be humbled. And the way you do that is, number one, you got to walk in the fear of God. When you walk in pride, is because you have no reverence for God. You have no reverence for him. You don't revere him. You don't fear God. Fear is not always in the negative sense, like, oh, mighty terror. But you need to have some of that in your mind.
Oh, almighty.
You get what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you have to realize he's the almighty God. And I know some people say, we should never fear God. Oh, yes, you should. Because if you don't fear God, you won't live in his ways. Because there has to be a reverence in the sense as a kid will have for their parents. I knew that if I got out of line, I had to answer to Aretha Hill and Vernon Hill Sr. You get what I'm saying? There's a healthy fear of the Lord. It's not, and we don't live in the fear of the Lord because we are afraid that he's going to throw us away. No, we live in a fear of God out of respect for him and his position. He is the mighty God. He's the mighty creator. And for some odd reason, we've lost this type of reverence in the house of God. We've lost this reverence for God in this day and age in which we live in, that we have no fear for him, like he's not the creator, like he can't snap you in pieces, like he cannot humble you in a matter of a second. You have to realize again, he is God. He is God. You have to understand, it is the fear of God. It's walking in the fear of the Lord that we can walk in repentance. It's walking in the fear of the Lord where we can walk in love, because we ought to love each other as Christ loved us. You get what I'm saying? We have to understand the fear of God. The fear of the Lord has not gone anywhere just because we live under grace. Because we do live under grace, we should fear him even more. Don't forget about the fear of God. You want to overcome pride? You better remember who you serve. You better remember who's God and who's the creator and who's the creation.
Yes. Yes, yes.
You have to remember. There's a difference. Proverbs 22 verse 4 says this, that true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. That's not what I said. This is what the Bible says. That when you live under a place of humility and you walk in the reverence of the Lord, you know what that leads to? It leads to riches. It leads to honor and long life. Why does it lead to those things? It's because when you are humbly submitted under God, the Bible says that if you humble yourself under the almighty hand of God, he will exalt you. Because when you walk under humility, you're allowing God to exalt you and not letting you to exalt yourself. You don't need people to exalt you when God can do it for you. Hallelujah. And guess what? When God exalts you, it has a long eternity. My God. It has an eternal value on it versus what other people can do to you. That's when people tell you you shouldn't have to brag about yourself, because other people will do that. No, God will brag on you in front of all of creation. Why did Job get double for his trouble? Even in the hell he went through, he still walked in humility. Even when he went through what he went, he still walked in the fear of the Lord. And how did he walk in the fear of the Lord, Pastor B? It's because he didn't curse God. He didn't just throw God away because things were happening bad in his life. He stayed there. He stayed in it. He stayed trusting God. He stayed holding on to his promises. And what happened? He got double for his trouble. Because we missed the part that he stayed humble in front of the mighty hand of God. And when other people tried to get him to forsake God and curse God and all of that stuff, he just kept on going. And what happened? God gave him double honor. God gave him double riches. All of those things. You can say, oh, this is prosperity. No, you have to understand the gospel is prosperous. It has a prosperity element to it that you cannot deny. Just because people can teach it wrong or manipulate it does not mean that the gospel is not prosperous. You know why business people don't like it? Because you always tell them, you always preach a gospel that only fits for people who are always struggling. And that's not true. The gospel reaches everybody at every walk of life. And if you heed the word of the Lord, you will also be able to lead to riches, honor, and long life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Always thinking that it's always outside of God. People think it's always outside of God. Everything is in God, and you just got to stay in him. Pride gets you out of it. He's trying to tell you to stay in it. If you in your fields, you're going to miss what God has for you because of that pride that's hanging there. Well, how do you, let me tell you something. Has anybody, including myself in this room, has rebellion ever worked out for you? Has it ever worked out? Have you paid the cost of your rebellious decision? Yes, I have. I have. You get what I'm saying? Have you paid the cost for it? Yes. So my question to you is, and to all of us who's watching online, what does it pay for you to just stay in humility with God and realize that, hey, it's not outside of him, it's in him? Let me ask you this. When you go into the garden, ladies and gentlemen, the garden, the first thing we see, the reason why the fall of man is because of pride. The real reality is pride is what led to their downfall. And then the symptom manifested in the sense that Adam didn't take any accountability. He put it on God because it was you the one who gave me this woman. It's your fault. If you didn't want me to fall, you shouldn't have gave him to her. That's not taking accountability. That's the reality, ladies and gentlemen. And oftentimes, what he did, he missed. He missed. And guess what? We all suffered because he missed. We all suffered because of his pride. If let me tell you something. Would it have been different if Adam just flat out repented? He didn't repent. He didn't say, God, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I did not. He didn't do any of that. The first thing he did was blame God. Because it comes, pride begins, or the seed of pride begins when you feel like God is keeping you out of the loop on something. Number two, I'm almost finished. Don't forget you're a byproduct of the grace of God. See, the reason why people get prideful is because you forget that you are a byproduct of grace. You know why self-righteousness and all of that stuff exists? It's because people forget that you once too were a sinner. You once too were out here in these streets. You once too, the Bible says in Romans, Paul said, you once were one of them. So the reason why some people don't come to God, and I know some of it is an excuse, but the reality of the matter is people be acting self-righteous like their stuff didn't stink. And because of that self-righteousness, you're having somebody miss heaven, unfortunately. Now, is that an excuse? No, but the first thing they should be seeing Jesus is in us. And a lot of times, if they don't see him in us, is that's because they don't, because there's some self-righteousness there, like, all these faces talking about the person behind their back. Yeah, they got trouble going on, and yeah, they gonna need a lot of deliverance, but you gotta remember where you were too. It may not have taken you as long as that person has taken, but you still needed it. We all are byproducts of the grace of God. None of us have comprehended and none of us have reached eternity yet so that we can be fully in this, in the state of our true nature. So while you're still here, you still got crap going on too. We just can't see it. First Corinthians 15 verse 10 says, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured it out his special favor on me. And not without results. He said, all I am is because God put out his grace on me. I have what I have because God gave it to me. I am what I am because if it wasn't for the grace of God by giving his son, and guess what? I wouldn't be here. But Paul said, guess what? It didn't come without results neither. See, there's the reality of the matter is that God did not save you for the sake of saving you. But this is what Paul said. Because I know that, I work harder than any other of the other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. See, it's realizing that it's not me. It's really the grace of God. See, that's why I pray every time I touch this mic, every time I get a chance to share the gospel, I tell the Lord, I understand my depravity. I understand my proclivities. I know who I am. And in this moment, I need you to meet me where I am and let you speak through me because it is the grace of God that's working in me. It is the grace of God that makes me who I am. It is the grace of God that has allowed me to get out of that state I was in and put me in a state of purpose. Give me peace of mind and tranquility because I understand that it's not me, it's the grace of God. And I can't take credit of what the grace of God produced. Oh, look at somebody say, you are nothing more than a byproduct of grace. You didn't stop those habits on your own. You didn't stop lying on your own. You didn't stop stop doing that on your own. It was nothing about you that made you stop. It was the Holy Spirit that made you aware of your sin, that made you aware of how far you had fallen, and empowered you to say, you can make a better decision. It wasn't you that stopped hoeing out on the streets. It wasn't you that stopped any of that stuff. It was the fact that God's grace got a hold of you. It was God's grace that got you. You can't take credit for that. It's, you can't take credit for the fact that, oh my God, listen, I missed, oh my God, that skipped me altogether. I was in that same thing that the other person was, but you didn't get it. Why you didn't get it? Because God's hedge of protection was on your life. It wasn't you who recovered from when you were molested or any of that stuff and you got better on your own because of therapy. It was grace that got you out of it. You can't take credit for what God's grace has done. It wasn't you, it was the grace of God. Because if it was you, you would still be in depression. You would still be anxiety. You would just cover it up like it never happened. But God's grace allows you to say, yes, it happened, but it didn't become a byproduct of me. Shout hallelujah. It's the grace of God. Pride takes credit for what only God could do. God did it. Lastly, I'm done. Remember your position. Remember your position. My position is that if I stay low in due time, God exalts. But if I don't stay in the position of lowliness, lowliness doesn't mean that I don't have prestige or none of that stuff.
That's right.
But lowliness is keeping myself in a place of humility under God.
Yes.
He just keeps elevating me up. That's my position. My position is, number one, I'm a child. A child, ladies and gentlemen, is the beneficiary of what the parents are. And if my daddy has wealth, riches, peace, all of that stuff, I inherit that same thing. And now as long as I'm underneath my father, he is responsible for meeting me where I'm at. That means I never take on the responsibility of the parent. Pastor B, I never had that in my life. That's okay. But in the spiritual realm of things, though you have not seen it naturally, though you didn't feel covered naturally, in the spirit... See, a lot of times we go into that whole self-preservation because you need it to because of where you grew up. But here's what God's trying to change your mind. I don't need you to think you got to survive with me. You don't have to think that you got to just do whatever you got to do in your strength to think you go make it. If you're with me, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Pride puts you in self-perseverance. Humility puts you at the feet of God and say that I'm not in survival when I'm underneath God. Though my situation may seem dire, God has the ability to be able to continue to keep me, and not only just keep me, but not, oh my God, not only to sustain me, but to allow me to thrive. But you got to remember your position. A lot of times we get prideful because we do not take a moment to remember. Let me help you understand the reason why it started when Moses was transitioning off of the scene and he was talking to the people of Israel and Deuteronomy and telling them to recall this to your children, to your children's children, all of that. So pride would never take effect. The reason why he was telling them to remember is so that they will never forget that it was not them, it was God that led them out of Egypt. It was God that led them out of 400 years of slavery. It was God that led them into this prosperous land. And that was supposed to be carried on, and they still do it to this day so that they could be reminded of where they came from. And sometimes pride creeps in because you forgot that you started somewhere too.
That's right.
Listen, I ain't never going to forget. I started with nothing. I didn't have nobody. People was barely showing up and all that stuff. How dare I look down at somebody else who's going through the same thing that I experienced? And that's what I encourage them in the Lord. Say, hey, keep on going. Because guess what? It gets better after a while. You just got to hold on. Don't worry about it. Listen, just keep showing up. Just keep showing up, because I didn't forget. I didn't forget what was happening down at the gathering place. I didn't forget when God strengthened me in a desert place. I didn't forget when it was just me and Dom and Brittany and Vernon in the room where we was having church all together, and Antoine was sprinkled in. Then my wife came in. Then Daniel came in. And then my parents was there. I don't forget where I came from. I don't forget. Oh, I'm sorry, Boomy. You were there too. I don't forget. I didn't forget, because it helps me to not get high off of my own supply. Why is that? Because it can, listen, let me tell you something, pride can take a hold of you, puts you in a place of arrogance, like you've accomplished something. It wasn't you who did it. It was the God in you that did what it did. If it's not for God, you would be nothing. There's an old song in the church, without God, I would be nothing. Without God, I would fail. I would be like a ship without a sail. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to remember where you were. And what's your position? No matter how much status you get, because you're going to get status. You're going to get, people going to recognize you. You'll be the top in your position. But don't forget that as you're going up, stay low. As you're going up, how do you get there, Ryan? I just stay low. She was in business for 10 years. My wife and I came to her her thing that she was having for her customers. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know she was in business for 10 years. Look at this. And they was doing their singing and all that stuff. And I was sitting there and I was like, you don't get here and last. Most people don't survive more than a year. You don't get here and then you don't last that long. Especially us being young, sometimes we quit before we ever get there. Because we don't think about the long haul. And we don't put the work in to see it. And be patient while it's coming in. Thank you, Deb. And be patient to see it come through.
Yes.
As you go up, stay low. As you go with God, stay under. Don't forget, don't allow people to be like, oh, you so talented and all of that. Thank you. But it's all God.
Yeah,
oh, that's a cliche. To you it is. But to me it's personal.
Yeah,
it's real.
Yeah.
What does it mean, hear me, what does it mean to get to a place you finally got to and lose it in a day? It's harder to get it than to keep it.
Yeah.
I want you to really think what I'm trying to say. In a day, TCA, we started off this way. We were loving on people. People come in here, they feeling like they could be themselves, getting transformed and all that stuff. And the moment we get high off our own supply, what God has done can come down like a moment. And sometimes God has fired you and you don't even know it, because you're so caught into your own pride. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, Saul. Come here, King Saul. Saul tells him, you're done. God tells Saul, you're done. God tells Samuel, tell Saul, he's done. I already found his replacement. What does it mean to be replaced and still be in a position? I already found your replacement. You still got the position, but the same anointing's not on you. You still functioning, but you know the glory not on you. Let me help you understand this. If the glory was still on Saul, he would have fought Goliath. But to make people know that, to make people believe, oh my God, but to not put himself out there, he doesn't fight Goliath. Because then people would know God's hand's not on them. Stand to your feet. I'm telling you, pride, ladies and gentlemen, is the biggest thing that haunts all of us. I don't care how mighty you think you are. I don't care how big you think you are. Pastor B can honestly say that there is moments I've had of pride. Pride, it could be a struggle. There's been moments that I know in my own life where I've had conversations with God because I thought I was entitled to something. Can I be honest with you? In a moment in the first 5 years of our church, I always tell you this. It was always a mental battle of my mind. There's times where I still can have mental battles, but the reality of this is this. There was a time nobody was really coming and none of that stuff. We're doing everything we can. I said, God, I told God, you don't think I'm worthy of just 20 people showing? Just, I can't even get 10. I was like, you don't think I'm good enough for 20? I think I'm owed that right. I treat people right. I come here, I show up every week. I'm setting up, tearing down. I'm doing all of this stuff. I'm doing what you asked me to do. And you can't even just give me this. I feel like I'm owed that. You cannot talk about yourself. I'll talk to me. I said, God, I'm owed that. I'll have conversations with my dad and I'll be like, man, I feel like I'm owed that right. I feel like I'm deserving of that. I feel like I've been proving to God like I'm still staying here. I'm showing up. I'm doing all of this stuff. I'm entitled to it. That's your pride. Because it's tipping of that place of you. Like, I know I'm good. I know I'm that, and you can't meet. You mean to tell me I can't get this? And in one day, I never got that answer. I never got that answer. you thought, oh, baby God gonna give him an answer. Nah. But God gave me something else to think about. God said to me, he said, Brandon, I'm not gonna answer your question. I'm not gonna meet you. I'm not coming to where you are. I'm not going to appease your pride. But I'm going to give you something to think about. If in fact I would have done what I've done early for you, because of how you saw things play out with people, they would still be around you, and you know they snakes in the grass. So if I would do something in you, and the genuine people that are around, that would be a propellant from people coming. And who's to say I'm preparing you for 20? That was it. After that, did it get better? No, I still saw what I saw. But my mindset was, I'm going to keep showing up. Why? Because God showed me he's not preparing me for what I think I'm entitled to. I don't know who y'all, I'm trying to really get this to us today. I'm trying to tell you. Oh, I'm trying to tell us this morning. Like, listen, y'all. We can have those moments where you feel entitled. And that pride right there, because, man, that's irritating me. You can have moments now where you feel like, man, I still think we da-da-da-da-da. But listen. If you don't surrender that in your self-awareness, to be self-aware, you will never allow God to make you come up to where he is. Because God is not going to, God only wrestled with Jacob to get him to come up. He didn't wrestle with Jacob and come down to wrestle with him because he was appeasing his pride. He wrestled with him so that he could see who he was truly meant to be. And y'all, when you're in your fields, you'll never see what you truly need to be. And pride is a great deterrent from your destiny. So in this moment, I want you to right now say, God, you know the places in me that I got pride. I'm I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to surrender it here in this church. And just be honest with you, Lord. That area, you know it. I know it. And God, I just forgive me in my place of rebellion. Your rebellion don't have to be malicious. It can be really small with just not doing it. Some always think that your rebellious nature is because you did something so big. No, just the slightest fact of not trusting God and doing the opposite is rebellion. So just ask the Lord, say, Lord, I know where I missed the mark. I just ask you to cover me here. I ask God for you to meet me where I'm at. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, in this moment, just take this moment right here. We done. You're going to get to brunch. But let the Lord move on you in this moment, in this space. Strip yourself from that pride. Strip yourself of what you think you're entitled of. And just focus on Him. Get your focus on Him today. Get your focus back on His priority on your life. Because guess what? True humility and the fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I appreciate your presence in this moment. Thank you, God. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely. Let's go to the chorus and just say, I surrender. strip yourself of that pride and receive what he's done for you on the cross. Eternal life is available for you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Ooh, glory. I thank you, Jesus. Surrender your will for his today. Receive eternal life. He died, he was buried, he rose again so that you could have everlasting life. And if anybody will believe on him, they will not perish. You say, hey, Pastor, I'm already saved. I need to rededicate my life back to Christ. That's available for you as well. You say, hey, I'm looking for a church home. I need to officially make this TCF my home. I would love to be your pastor. If you don't know Jesus, I give you the opportunity to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I acknowledge I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. I acknowledge you died on the cross. You were buried and that you rose again and you ascended to the right hand of the Father just for me. I want to make you the Lord over my life today. If you said that today, make your way out of your aisle and Pastor Dom will show you the next steps of your salvation. Those of you watching, you'll to text that number on the screen, and our people will contact you and show you the next steps of your salvation today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Surrender. It's giving time in the house of God. You can put the giving on the screen. Hallelujah. Oh,